The gospel today is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the reputation of Jesus and said to his servants, "This man is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. For John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Although he wanted to kill him, he feared the people, for they regarded John as a prophet. But at a birthday celebration for Herod, the daughter of Herodias performed a dance before the guest and delighted Herod so much that he swore to give her whatever she might ask for. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here, on a platter, the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oath and the guests who were present, he ordered that it be given, and he had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who took it to her mother. His disciples came and took away the corpse and buried him, and they went and told Jesus. The word of the Lord. In the scripture passages this week, we have heard about several mothers. The week started with the mother of the sons of Zebedee trying to get positions of honor and power for her sons. Then we had the feast of Anne, the mother of our Blessed Mother, the grandmother of Jesus. Today we have yet another mother, Herodias, who prompted her daughter to ask that the head of John the Baptist be presented on a platter. Three very different women, all who wanted to have an influence on and for their children. I read this gospel passage from Matthew, and I'm always repulsed and startled by the violence in nearly every verse. John is arrested for holding up a mirror of conscience before Herod regarding his relationship with his brother's wife. We learn early on that Herod wanted John the Baptist dead, so there is no surprise when he gives the order for beheading. Then we have the birthday party, the dance, a promise, and a demand. "Give me here the head of John the Baptist on a platter." I wonder, was anyone shocked by this? Or had violence ordered by Herod become so commonplace that it hardly drew any reaction from people? I wonder, did anyone try to stop it? The beheading is not only carried out, but further insult is heaped on John because his head is carried into the party on a platter and then presented to Herodias by her daughter. I can't imagine carrying around the severed head of a human being and presenting it as a gift. The whole passage is so repulsive, I can barely read it. Is this type of violence so foreign to us? Sadly, it is not. Last Friday, we heard of the shocking horror that happened in Norway. A man, apparently acting alone, went on a bombing and shooting spree that left nearly 100 people dead, most of them teenagers. Last Saturday in Somalia, the Al-Shabaab militant group beheaded two young herders and displayed their corpses in the town. They went through the streets with loudspeakers, urging the people to go to see the headless bodies on display, and then they paraded them through the town. I am sure that each of us would be able to give an example of violence that has occurred very recently. Some of it might be senseless, some of it done in a moment of anger, and yet some well planned and calculated and carried out. What can we do to break the cycle of violence that seems to so permeate our whole world? What can we do to keep ourselves from becoming numb to such inhumanity? It seems that we must first hold fast to hope and believe that peace is possible. Then from that wellspring of grace, we can move toward becoming women and men who are at peace within and who offer peace to others. We start with ourselves and become aware of the violence that is within us, whether that be in action or in speech or in our words. I came across an anonymous quote that I altered a bit for today. And it says, "Be careful of your thoughts, for your thoughts become your words. Make them thoughts of peace. Be careful of your words, for your words become your actions. Make them words of peace. Be careful of your actions, for your actions become your habits. Make them actions of peace building. Be careful of your habits, for your habits become your character. Make them habits of peace and nonviolence. Be careful of your character, for your character becomes your destiny. Be a person of peace, inside and outside." We may not ask for the head of the Baptist brought to us on a plate, but I wonder how often speech is used to cut someone down, how often the ways we think about or speak to or act towards others might kill the spirit within. You and I may not be able to change or stop the violence in the world, but we can work to be peacemakers in the world that is close to us. Peacemakers with the people we live with or work with or casually meet as we go about our day-to-day activities. Deliberately being nonviolent is going to take great effort because so much is unconscious with us. But there is something stronger, something deeper, that is also within us, and that is the love of God that dwells within, the grace of God that enables us, if we but let it, look upon others as our brothers and our sisters. Three mothers this week, the mother of the sons of Zebedee, wanting to assure places of honor and power for her sons, Herodias, who had her daughter ask for the head of John the Baptist, and Anne, mother of our Blessed Mother. I think I will turn to Anne, asking her to help us. She had a wonderful influence on Mary, so I think she can help all of us to nurture the children of the world, regardless of their age, to be people of peace, people of gentle strength like her daughter and her grandson, to be peacemakers, to be people of nonviolence. That is our hope. That is our prayer.